Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning. Who on earth is that woman up there? I am Reverend Lynn Haseley, your new associate pastor, and I want to welcome you to worship here today at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Whether you're with us online or in person, we are just glad that you're here. I want to tell you only the tiniest thing about myself, which is that last church I served was Narden Park in Farmington Hills. My husband, Gary, is sitting there in the fourth row, and he'll wave his arm. You'll get to know him because he loves to sing, so you'll probably be seeing him singing. And I'm going to be working to get to know every one of you. It might take me a while, but I'm working on it. I want to know your name. I want to know your story. I want to know how we can be in ministry together. So today is Bounce Back Sunday. So hello to the kids that are here. Hi, kids. Yeah, it's a special day for you. Regular Sunday school starts next week, but today we're going to be blessing your backpacks and blessing you. And kids that are in third grade or in kindergarten, you're getting a special gift today. It's a new, maybe I won't tell you. Wait and be surprised. You're getting something special. Okay, and parents, if you're here and you have kids that are nursery level, you are welcome to take, we have a wonderful nursery downstairs. You can just go and talk to an usher if you want to go there, and they will help you to find your way there. But for everyone, we hope you'll find and fill out a connection card because we want to know that you're here. We want to know your interests. They're located in the pew racks right in front of you. There are also yellow prayer cards there. We want to pray for your requests. So please, please fill them out. We will be praying for you. And then put them in the offering plate. That's how we're going to receive them. Our worship leaders today are Bob Hemphill and Suzanne Everett. And we have, today we've got a chance, this is bounce back and throwback, because we don't have the words on the screen as usual, just some little hiccup. So you need to get out your hymnal for our opening hymn and turn to number 61. We're going to be singing, Come Thou Almighty King. We'll sing all the verses. So let's stand together and let's sing our praises to God.
Thank you. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord of all, be with us in worship today. Open our ears to hear your word. Open our mouths to sing your praise. Open our hearts to love your people. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So once again, please use your hymnal, and you may be seated.
Good morning again. My name is Allison Vitale, and I'm the Director of Children and Student Ministry here. And as Pastor Lynn mentioned, what an exciting morning it is today. During the services at 9:30 and 11, we'll be giving Bibles to kindergartners and third graders. So at this time, I would like to invite forward all kindergartners and all third graders, along with their parents and grandparents, if they'd like to join them. If you're here, just go ahead and stand here. You don't have to come up on the stage, but you can stand here in front and kind of face the front. So even if you didn't know, you know, if you came this morning and you didn't know about this, you're still welcome to join us. It's fine. We have plenty of Bibles, and we would love to be able to give you one. So if you're in kindergarten this year or in third grade this year. For the kindergartners, I've chosen the Spark Story Bible. And this is a Bible that has colorful pictures, age-appropriate language, reflection questions for young children and their parents to explore together. For the third graders, we've chosen the Adventure Bible. In this Bible, third graders can explore God's Word, reference maps to discover the places being discussed, and learn about important children in the Bible. As third graders, of course, you're old enough to read the words on your own, to study them, pray with them, and ask questions about them.
And yet, you're not just going to be able to read these words on your own at home, but you also get to discover God's word here at your church community. So we hope that as you read your Bible, that you bring it with you to Sunday school, that you also bring your questions, your doubts, and you'll know and discover a supportive, loving community of faith here to grow together. We want you to know that you can grow in your knowledge and your love and your service towards God together in Sunday school and as a church community. And parents, I would also invite you today to make that commitment to helping read the scriptures with your child, whether it's the kindergarten Bible or now your third grade Bible, to make a commitment today to listen to their questions and their curiosities, to explore the scripture together, to share maybe even a little bit about your faith journey as you read those Bible stories together. May it be an opportunity for you to grow as disciples together. So Pastor Allison is passing out your Bibles. They're quite heavy. Yeah. Passing out your Bibles to share. It's exciting to receive the Bible this morning, to be able to take them home, to study the scriptures, to bring them to Sunday school, to use them in class, and to celebrate God's word together. So kids and students, kids and parents, as you receive this word from God, may you learn the stories and you study the scriptures together. May we know that the stories belong to all of us, for these words speak to us today. They tell us who we are. They tell us that we are beautiful, beloved children of God. As you receive these Bibles, may your hands be blessed, may your hearts be blessed, and may your minds be blessed as you're ready to receive them with openness and curiosity. And may the Holy Spirit guide us as we encounter the living word together. Amen. Amen. Let's celebrate. Well, kids, we would invite you to stay up here if you would like to. We're going to now do a blessing of the backpacks and a blessing of all of our kids. Maybe you had a 1 week of school together, or maybe school's about to start. So we would invite the rest of our kids to come forward, children and preschoolers, older kids if they're there. Come on forward. We'd love to do a blessing of the backpacks and a blessing of your lunch boxes and a blessing. You're welcome to come on forward, parents and the rest of the kids. Come on up if you'd like.
We'd also like to invite teachers. Any teachers that are here that are just beginning a new school year, we'd also invite you to join us. On the screen is a picture of a tag that we're going to be passing out to everyone here. Teachers and students are welcome to have one. And you can just put this right on your backpack. And, you know, sometimes when you start a new school year, things can be a little scary. Maybe you don't know people in your class. So I just want you to be able to look at this tag and know it says, be loved, be kind, be you. And just know that you are loved. Right here you can see all of these people everywhere in this room. You are loved and God loves you. And as you're kind to people, you should hopefully be able to make friends. And most importantly, be you, because God made you uniquely just how you are. So be you. Your school, wherever you may be learning, they need you to be just who you are, right? If you're a teacher, your students need you to be who you are. And so we just want to encourage you with that. Going back to school invites big feelings to come along with us. And those feelings can be different for everyone. Whether you're starting school for the first time, moving to a new school, or staying at the same school, sometimes we can feel happy, nervous, scared, or curious. Sometimes we can even feel all of those things at the same time. But that's okay. You know that God is always with us? Yes. No matter where we go and what we feel. So as you start a new school year, you can put this special backpack tag Pastor Lindsay is going to pass out to you, so that whenever you look at it, you can remember that God loves you and is always with you no matter what. This school year, may you be curious and kind, gentle and strong, brave and loving. Along with the backpack tag, I want to share this blessing with you. A blessing is something that you can receive. So if you want, you can open your hands like you're ready to receive a special gift. If you want to receive it, take this blessing and put it in your heart. May these tags remind you that God is always with you. Let us pray. God of fresh starts and fresh beginnings, we bring ourselves, all of our feelings, and our backpacks to you. In our backpacks, we carry pages, pencils, crayons. In our hearts, we carry our feelings, our unanswered questions, our hopeful expectations. There are endless possibilities of what this new year might bring, of what we might learn and who we might meet and who we might become. But God, our friend, who is always with us, please be with us through it all. Be with us as we walk around our school, our home, wherever we learn. Be with us as we buckle our seatbelts and tie our shoes. However we get there, whatever we wear, bless our journey into something new. And for our teachers going back to school, please be with us. Thank you for our teachers, our helpers, our caregivers, and our leaders for all they do to help us learn and grow. God, our friend who's full of wonder, fill their hearts and bless their hands. Amen. Remembering the funnest part, which is that today is Bounce Back Sunday. So not only do you get to, some of you tuck away a Bible, all of you get a tag, but at this time, if you are someone who would like to join me, I have some other adult leaders who would be helping me, if your child would like to go outside and bounce. So I know there's a possibility of drizzle, rain. It is waterproof. There's a roof over it. I was assured that it's fine to use in the rain. And I have a tent set up next to it with some refreshments under it, some drinks and some fruit and things that the kids are welcome to have a snack also. So at this time, if it's okay with your parents, you can be dismissed to the back and I'll lead you outside to enjoy the bounce house as well.
That was just great, and to be honest, I'd like to go bounce myself. So scripture reading is now over. No, scripture reading for this morning is Matthew 7, verse 12. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So I think the Bounce Back Sunday invitation can be both for the young and the young at heart. So if you want to bounce on out of here and go join the kids, I think the young at heart are welcome to go bounce as well. You can make that decision at your discretion, if you will, depending upon what your how good of insurance coverage maybe you have this morning. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, how good it is to gather this day for worship and for praise, to sing your beautiful songs out of the hymnal, to hear the joyful noises and the exciting sounds of our children and youth, to receive a Bible tag and to be reminded that they are loved. Lord, we are beloved children as well. To go out and bounce and to look forward to all that you have in store for us this year. God of grace and mercy, we thank you for new beginnings each day, not only new beginnings this school year, but new beginnings each and every day. So you've woken us up, you've put a joyful song in our heart, and you've led us to this place to praise, to worship, to gather with other disciples on the journey, to lean in to your scripture lesson, and to consider what you might have us to ponder this morning. Come, O Holy Spirit, gather us in and be with us in this time of worship. Speak to me and through me, and now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. And all God's people said, amen. Perhaps you saw the little scripture worship sermon series that goes out in our e-blast news. It said that the average person says about 7,000 words a day. Some joke and say women have more words to say than others. I don't know about that. But either way, some 7,000 words on average are spoken every day. That's a lot of words. I try to get in 7,000 steps. I don't know. Maybe there's more words that come out of my mouth as a pastor than there are steps on my pedometer. Some of those words that we share, they're shared across the office boardroom table or in the library at a meeting here at church. Others are shared over plates of pasta or pot roast and potatoes in the evening with your family. Other words we've gotten very good at communicating through Zoom calls or text messages or face-to-face interactions when you're actually getting to see your church family or a friend for coffee. Some of those face-to-face words are also with kids and spouses. So a lot of the time, our conversation and words of exchange can be very productive conversations where we understand each other and it's a delightful opportunity to connect. And then sometimes, miscommunication takes place, doesn't it? What happens then when the content of our words, it gets misunderstood? Oh, that's not exactly what I meant to say. And then somebody disagrees. Or what happens if maybe there's not miscommunication, but the very content of the words back and forth, you just discover you really disagree? Have you ever been in a situation where there's a misunderstanding and the temperature starts to feel like it's getting hotter in the room and there's a tense, maybe, conflict that's starting to just kind of bubble up? Certainly misunderstandings and disagreements and conflict, it happens. It's just part of life, isn't it? It's a part of every relationship. It happens. No two people are cloned exactly the same. And so miscommunications, it just happens whether we really like it or not. For lots of folks, they don't like conflict. You don't raise your hand. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but think in your mind, are there any conflict avoiders in the room? You don't like conflict? Some try to avoid it at all costs. Again, not raising a hand, but just thinking in your mind, others love conflict. Maybe you thrive on it. Maybe you even seek it out. But most of the time, my hunch is that we could get a little bit better navigating and managing those misunderstandings or their conflict, certainly myself included. So pastors need to preach the sermons to themselves. I know I could get a lot better at dealing and navigating misunderstandings or conflict or addressing that. I am no expert. I'm a work in progress. But maybe you could, maybe you'd like to grow in this area as well. So I'm curious what we might find from Scripture about navigating challenging conversations or those misunderstandings. I'm curious what Jesus might have to say. You know, if I use the phrase the red letter words, do you know what that means? Did your third grade Bible ever have words in it when you opened it up? It was red letters, red text. Those were the words of Jesus. So I'm curious what those red letter words of Scripture, what Jesus might have taught his disciples and how those words might speak to us today when it comes to navigating those disagreements or conflict. How might we gain a few more tools? If we imagine a big toolbox of life, a big tool trunk, how might we add a few more tools to our toolbox of life when we're thinking about navigating those misunderstandings and conflict? Are there things that we could gain to become better communicators? Are there ways that we could listen more fully or remain calm in the midst of a conflict and respect our differences? So for the next couple of weeks, Pastor John and I are starting a new sermon series called Calmunication. Think communication, but calm at the beginning of it. Calmunication. Perhaps staying calm is going to have something to do with these two people in dialogue. Perhaps staying calm is going to be one of our keys in these weeks to come as we think about conflict, communication, keeping things cool, and when tensions start to rise and the temperature of the room is getting hotter, and no, the heat thermometer maybe didn't physically get turned, but maybe you're just feeling that. And we'll be thinking about forgiveness and grace and resolution. How we're going to lean into this. Calmunication for the next few weeks. Perhaps staying calm is one of those things. So one of my majors in college, I was a theater major, and so I'm known to be kind of theatrical from time to time. I'm known to overreact from time to time, ask my husband certainly, ask my mother certainly. Remaining calm sometimes, you know, put on your oxygen mask and remain calm isn't always necessarily my forte. I think I developed those theatrical skills on the stage. So remaining calm, here's a quick story of when I did not remain calm, and probably I should have. I know I should have. So John and I had been just married for a little while, maybe 6 months or so, and we were newlyweds. I think you get to hold the newlywed title for a year. We were looking forward to our first Christmas together, and we decided we were going to buy some new couches for our church parsonage. We saved our pennies. We moved into the parsonage and didn't have furniture. So we decided we were going to go furniture shopping and purchase some new parsonage couches. So while in the store, we're looking around, I find some that I like, and John says, well, hey, why don't you, how about this? We've been talking a little bit about getting a dog. How about this? You choose the parsonage couches, and then you let me choose the dog. Okay, I say, and what, head on up to the associate to go get those couches in order. Sure, why not? Let's do it. We've been talking a little bit. I'll get the couches. Yeah, sure, you get the dog. Well, the next day was a Sunday, and I was at a church program. It was December time. I thought John was home on a Sunday afternoon, but it turns out he wasn't. So when I got done with the Christmas concert, I looked at my phone, and I saw a number of missed calls, and I was worried. Remember that theatrical nature of mine, a little overreaction? I thought something was maybe wrong. I was worried there were so many missed calls. Well, I finally got a hold of him and connected. And, are you okay? Are you okay? I was so worried. But it turns out, no, he just had kept his end of the bargain. He'd gone to the pet store. He'd kept up his end of the bargain just as we had talked about and I had agreed to, and said, well, you chose the couches and I found the dog. I'm theatrical, right? What? Staying calm was out the window, and so goes a newly med miscommunication of understanding what that might look like. We were new to working through things and talking things out, and so that miscommunication happened. How we imagined that might happen looked differently. He could choose the dog, but I had imagined that maybe I would be there, and he understood that differently, right? I'm not trying to throw Pastor John under the bus. It's a story of miscommunication when we had talked about it. But miscommunication happens in all of those, in all relationships. We laugh, I roll my eyes about it, and it's silly. And we ended up with a fantastic dog that we loved dearly. He was always up to some kind of silly chaos in our life. But he was a wonderful dog named Sam. But miscommunication happens, and we've learned about how to better communicate with one another. So all married couples, all relationships go through, you know, conflict or miscommunication or whatnot. And there's a story that's found. If you open up your bulletin, you'll see there's a scripture passage printed from Mark's gospel and from Matthew's gospel. You'll see the scripture passages there that are printed. And the scripture passage is a story of another couple that experiences some conflict. Now, Pastor John's and mine was just like a silly, like, misunderstanding. We were both on board for couches and a dog. We just miscommunicated. The story that the scripture passage here that we have lifted up is a story about a couple, but there's a whole lot more on the line. It's a story of John the Baptist, and it's a story of a couple, Herod and Herodias, who are married, and it's a story of what really not to do in a relationship when you're navigating conflict. Herod and Herodias are married. Now, Herod has ended his marriage, and he's married Herodias, formerly his sister-in-law. And John the Baptist is giving them a hard time for doing this. He was going outside of what some prescribed laws, understandings were. And so Herodias wasn't a big fan of John the Baptist for pointing out to the couple that they shouldn't be in this marriage. And there's an opportunity in this story. I'll invite you to read the passage at home. There's an opportunity in this story where their daughter, there's a birthday party, and John the Baptist was so pleased by at this birthday party, their daughter did a great dance and a great celebration in front of all the guests that were invited, and there's an opportunity where Herod says, well, I'll give you, thank you so much, I'll give you anything in return for that wonderful dance and celebration. Anything you ask for, I will give it to you. The daughter goes outside talks to mom, Herodias, and says, "Well, what should I ask for, mom?" Now remember, Herodias was having a grudge against John the Baptist. She wasn't really a fan of John the Baptist calling out Herod and Herodias for their relationship. And the story ends poorly. The little girl walks in and says, "Well, mom has asked for the head of John the Baptist on the plate." Have you heard this scripture story before? And so it goes that then the guards head and get John in prison. They acquire what was asked of them, and the head of John the Baptist is delivered on the plate, and it's given to the girl, and so goes the story. A story of conflict, a story of what not to do in the midst of conflict. I've lifted up for you to read home at home and study those scripture passages from Mark and Matthew's gospel to read those a little bit closer. Mark's gospel is thought in the synoptic gospels to have been written first, and it's a longer version. It's about 300 words as you read that scripture passage. Matthew's gospel was written later, in a little later in history, and it's kind of condensed about half the words. It's a story of certainly what not to do when facing conflict, not to end up literally chopping off someone's head and ending up on a plate. So if that's a story of what not to do when facing conflict, next week Pastor John is going to preach a little bit on what works a whole lot better when resolving conflict, perhaps looking at some of those red-letter words in Scripture. I hope you'll be here next week as John continues the conversation with a few more helpful tools of addressing conflict, not like John the Baptist. As you think about your conflict style, what is it? Are you one of those conflict avoiders? Do you feel uncomfortable around conflict? Do you like to sweep it under the rug? Do you have a broom and a rug, and is it all swept underneath there, nice and tidy? Or do you thrive on it? Do you feel comfortable around it? Maybe look for it. Are you one of those conflict seekers? So growing up, I know that I was a conflict avoider. I hated those tension-filled situations. I didn't want to get into a fight with a friend. I was afraid what might happen if I got into a conflict. As a third grader or a kindergartner, right, I was afraid that maybe a miscommunication or a disagreement would mean that we weren't going to be friends anymore. What about you? What about you? Conflicts are certainly there, whether we like to address it or not. Do you find yourself in a similar situation, wanting to just sweep it under the rug, afraid to address conflict, maybe with a loved one or a friend? So in these weeks to come, that's what we're thinking more on as well. Perhaps we gain those tools about how to address it well. Not like John the Baptist, not necessarily like sweeping it under the rug. But there's a few other responses that sometimes happen when we're in the midst of conflict. Sometimes there's helpful responses and sometimes not such great responses. Like the good old telephone game. Did you ever play the game telephone as a kid? Do you know what I'm talking about? Kids line up in a line, and the person at the beginning thinks of a word, thinks of a phrase, of what they want to share, and they whisper it to their friend. The friend hears it and then passes it on down to the next person, and if they didn't quite hear, they can say telephone, and you get to hear it again one time whispered in to the ear, and then you keep going. You can hear it once to try to decipher to the best of your ability, but when the communication gets done to the very end of the line of kiddos, it's such a hilarious game. Sometimes the word and phrase got changed quite a bit. Sometimes it's pretty similar, and then sometimes there's those silly, squirrely kids that decide to change the whole phrase on purpose to see what happens, you know? Do you guys play that? I love playing that. Well, I remember playing it, and it was so fun to see what might change throughout the line, what might be added or taken away, or what actually, it was always the miracle when the phrase kind of got communicated down the line right. But the telephone game, it might be fun as kids, and we can laugh about that, but sometimes that telephone game of life gets a little too close to home for us as adults. Sometimes we find ourselves playing the telephone game and we didn't intend to play it. That's sometimes when miscommunication happens, or when then some conflict trips up, and that game of telephone is experienced in real time or in real life. Sometimes the moments of misunderstandings and conflicts are like that game. because sometimes it's appealing to get pulled into that, you know, the party line, right? Party line, right? It's appealing to get pulled into that party line and pass along some messages that are maybe not always helpful. Whereas the game of childhood games, it's fun to keep us laughing and it's funny, but as adults, when we get pulled into that telephone game, sometimes it's hurtful and not always helpful. It's not really the best way for us to think about healing our relationships. So next week, again, as we're continuing to talk about this, maybe there's some better, more helpful ways to think about that conflict. Certainly we want to avoid the John the Baptist technique, but maybe the telephone game isn't a great one either, but maybe it's more clear, direct communication in times of miscommunication that we can lean into to work through the couches and the dogs so you don't end up with the dog sitting on your new couch, right? Clear communication with each other when we all experience those mishaps. There's so many different responses that we might give in misunderstandings and conflict, and one that Bob read for us, maybe he's out bouncing. I don't see him right now. I think maybe he's out bouncing. Oh, there's Bob. There's Bob. One suggestion that we find from Scripture is whatever our response to conflict might be is that of the golden rule from Matthew 7:12 that Bob read for us. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law of the prophets. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. As we think about that golden rule, how this week might we set aside the telephone game or the John the Baptist strategy and live into that golden rule of thinking, how might we do to others as we would have them do to us? How might we begin to think about misunderstandings and communication in a different light? How might we see that it's not something that has to be avoided or swept under a rug, but it's something that we can learn to get better at, more comfortable with, to have healthier relationships, to assume the best in a situation and work through those tension-filled moments. Let's not be the John the Baptist. That's what not to do. Let's think next week about what we can do. And so I look forward in these next few weeks to talking about calm communication, communication, and gaining some skills and having some of this tough stuff. Certainly this fall we jump into kiddos back to school and misunderstandings or mishaps happen, and certainly this fall, you know, we look forward to sitting around the dinner table with family, maybe at Thanksgiving, but sometimes those misunderstandings and the miscommunication happens. So let's lean into this very real and practical sermon series as we all can find ways to keep cool in the midst of tension and lean into that golden rule. I hope you'll take a moment this week to really look at those stories and those accounts of John the Baptist. May they be for us, for me, for all of us, those moments of a learning lesson that we don't bite somebody's head off. I think that's where the phrase comes from that scripture passage. Let's pray. Most loving and gracious God, you challenge us to follow in your footsteps. You challenge us to love as you love. So help us, Lord, to hold that fast in our hearts this week, to love as you would love, to do and to treat others as you would, that we would want to be treated ourselves, to lean into that golden rule to which you call us as we think about following in your footsteps. A loving and gracious God, thank you for challenging us to be better, to be more loving, and to be more kind. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Bells. That was fantastic. I was just thinking, like, when you're in perfect sync communication, that's the beautiful thing that can happen, right? They're all in good timing. Thank you, Pastor Lindsay, for that message. I was thinking about, you know, when you said, can you think of a conflict? I personally was like having a body response. I don't know about you, but like that nervousness. I'm like, okay, this is a chance to practice that calming. Take a breath. Lower my internal response. So the prayer that we're going to share together is our time to spend time in communication with God. So find some rest in this moment to open your mind, open your heart. Like Allison said, maybe open your hands to give and receive the blessing from God. Will you pray with me? Good and gracious God, I am struck by the solemnity of this day in our communal memories, September 11. Many of us here can remember where we were, what we were doing, and how we felt during that terrible day in 2001. 21 years later, I can't help but think about the solidarity that I and so many Americans felt that day. A tragedy felt so deeply that it brought us closer to our neighbors, family, and friends. The love and concern for those in New York and D.C. and a field in Pennsylvania, as well as the deep, unsettled feelings that followed. But there was love, and that stitched us together. The intervening years, it seems, have loosened that solidarity. Lord, today we honor the memories of those who lost their lives 21 years ago and their families who still grieve them. Help us as citizens of the world to show your love for all our neighbors, whether they live on our street, in our cities, in our state, our country, or around the world. For you taught us that everyone is our neighbor, and we are to care for them. As we pray this morning, we offer prayers of thanks and blessings for the teachers and for those who are caring for the next generation. They are so important to the nurturing of children, youth, young adults, and adults. Lord, we ask you to pour your blessings on them and all those in their classrooms. Creator God, we thank you for the beauty of the earth and the life-giving rain. We are surrounded by your glory, and here in Michigan, an abundance of water. May we not take it for granted, and we seek your mercy on those places that continue to suffer from drought or water that is not clean to drink. Help us to live out your will through generosity and compassion. Show us how you would have us respond to those in need or suffering injustice. Merciful God, we pray too for our own personal concerns. You taught us that we should bring everything to you in prayer, including our individual needs and the needs of our families. We pray for each and every one of those named on our prayer concern list. We also pray today for the recipients of two prayer quilts, for Lyle Sintek and Dolores Manette, a friend of Joyce Brown. Hear these prayers for their healing and comfort, and may these beautiful quilts remind them of your great love for them and the prayers on their behalf. And now in this moment of silent prayer and reflection, we share the prayers on our hearts. Now Now let us join our voices together, praying with those on our right and on our left, and with everyone online, repeating the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, we come now to the time in our service when we think about the ways we can make a difference in this world, the ways that we serve God. Some of us use our hands to take apart pieces of metal. I know a whole bunch of that happened yesterday. I heard all about it, and that is a wonderful way to serve God. Others can serve God by making quilts, by playing handbells, by taking mission trips, by offering hospitality to strangers. We also serve God by providing from our financial resources so that amazing ministries like these can continue. So I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward so we can offer our gifts to God.
Lord, we bring our offerings to you, to this church, and to this community that you love. This gift is part of our worship. Make it holy and good. Use it to spread your message of love to all. Amen.
Station and
Just a couple of quick announcements I want to share. Starting at 9:30 on the first Sunday of October, Stephanie Wallace here, she's up front with her adorable little baby, Riley. There's going to be starting a new Sunday school class for parents of young ones, toddlers, babies, elementary age kids, couples, singles that want to be a part of a new Sunday school class that's going to be forming. We're going to gather on the first Sunday of October to start thinking together what that might look like. And Stephanie is going to be a part of that leadership. So parents and singles and young adults and whatnot that fall into that category of interest, if you're curious and want to ask and connect, invite you to connect with Stephanie. She's up here in the front after worship. A couple of other great things that are going to be happening for the younger age disciples of our church. The Young People's Worship Arts Christmas musical that's under the direction of Susan. Those are going to be, registration is open to be able to start taking place doing rehearsals on Saturdays and Sundays. Please connect with Susan and register to be a part of the musical by the 15th of October. And you can catch Susan after worship if you want to learn more about that great music ministry, musical theater opportunity. Also, a great opportunity for our middle schoolers and high schools to grow in faith is through youth group. And this year, it's moving to Wednesday nights. So attention all middle school families. Middle school youth group will meet on the first and the third Wednesday of the month, on Wednesday nights at 6:30. And our high schoolers will meet on the second and the fourth Wednesday of the month at 6:30 on Wednesday nights. Go ahead and connect with Pastor Allison out of the bounce houses if you have any questions about that great ministry. Also want to draw your attention to the endowment dinner that's going to be taking place on Friday, the 30th of September. It's a 6 o'clock dinner. Former senior pastor Sherry will be there to be a speaker, so we hope that you'll RSVP your attendance, call into the church office during the week if you have questions or want to get registered. Now, church, may you go forth with the love of God in your hearts, the peace of Jesus always with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit, enabling you to go forth to serve God and love your neighbor. May this week, may we go forth seeking to live out that golden rule as we encounter moments of conflict or tension. May we seek a calm heart and an understanding of one another. Go forth this day to love God and serve neighbor. And as you go forth, I hope you'll make your way on into the fellowship hall, the community room, to send a warm greeting and a warm welcome to Pastor Lynn as she joins our team. It's so great to have her with us this day. I hope you'll take time to get to know her and Gary. Go forth this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.